Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kezsource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside Kezsource Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss fundamentals, helping others, and football in the South. Our guest today is Bruce Snell, president of BSG International. Bruce Snell understands business operations. We've spent quite a bit of time with Bruce and knew we had to have him on the podcast as he has so much to offer business leaders. He gives in so many ways. He does one-on-one consulting. He works with companies of many sizes. He has his book, Breaking Through the Four Barriers of Quality, and he has an online course. All of it provides an awareness of operational processes. He trains, develops, and applies. Bottom line is, Bruce and BSG International can help your business. Bruce's examples of breaking through barriers in life and business were on full display in our chat. His success in business have us so excited to feature him on this podcast. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Bruce Snell. So Bruce, one of the things that I'm most excited about today is you were a mentor to my business partner, Shane Snively. And having the opportunity to chat with you and your team has been very exciting for me because of just how many great things Shane has said about you. You come into our office, we spend a lot of time together, we learn about your business, your history, and all that. And so it's always exciting to chat with people in business that have had a lot of success, that have, you know, been around for a while in a good way. And one of the things that I laughed about when we first met is the stories you started telling me about football. So I started to learn early on that you used to be a football player back in the day in the South. Tell me about what you learned from playing football that has helped you in business.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Eric, because I grew up in Alabama, so everything is in my neighborhood. We grew up in the housing projects in Alabama, and basically we were gauged by, we were accepted or not by our ability in sports. So we played football, basketball, and baseball all the way through college. And so out of that, when I step back from it, I kind of call it, it's like in business, is that I call it hitting a sled when we're on the field and you're the coach, everybody lines up, he blows the whistle, you hit the sled, he blows it again, you roll out and get in line, and then you do it again. And that's kind of what I believe one of the things that I really learned is that most of the time, a lot of us just push things up. But what I've discovered is that we, our organization and what we do, we push things through. We just don't push them up, but we execute all the way through. And I think that was kind of what in sports, it was always fundamentals. It was always, I remember one of our good friends and clients was Steve Yamaguchi of Quantum Healthcare 100 years ago. They had they went from four guys to literally a half billion in sales in 5 or 6 years. And one of the things that Steve Yamaguchi said, he goes, well, hey, Bruce, you're really bringing an organizational playbook. I go, well, Steve, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, he and his partners owned a lot of AAA teams. And he says, well, you bring a playbook. Same thing when we hire a coach, is that he brings his playbook and he executes. And that's really what your program is. I said, well, you know, Steve, I never really thought about it like that. And he says, so he goes, Bruce, example, he goes, when you're in Pee Wee football, what did you do? I said, well, Steve, we learned how to block and learn how to hit. And he said, well, what did you do in junior high? What you do in high school? What you do in college? What did you do with that brief 30 seconds with Denver? And I go, he goes, you worked on the fundamentals, blocking and hitting and executing. And I said, well, you know, I never really thought about it, but that's really what happens. He says, you know, Bruce, we seem to learn business during the game, and business doesn't seem to practice. We're always in the game. And what I believe what we came out of that was, is that it's just like in sports. Eric, and you know from a sports background, about 95% of the time is in training and preparation in a very short time actually in the game. And so that's kind of what one of the things that I've learned is the perseverance to keep hitting it, keep moving forward, have a game plan, have a plan and a purpose, and execute and keep our eye. Like they say, even as in the younger, slimmer days, I was a split end. It says keep your eyes on the ball and eyes and hands to catch it and bring it in. And that's really what in business is that we got to keep our eyes on the ball. We got to keep moving forward and not become stagnant with all the what we call the four barriers and all the other stuff. So I think kind of stepping back, it's really about executing, building a team, because I think that was one of the biggest benefits growing up in the South is that no matter where you were from or what color you were, we all had to play as a team. And we all depended. And so in a sense, a team, what I think, it takes leadership, it takes a fellowship to build that team, and everybody depending and needing everybody. And I think that's kind of it, is that it doesn't really care how you look or kind of maybe your background or your education, is that can you be and have a part of the team and execute every day on the fundamentals. So I don't know if that even got to your question.
No, and I love how you can take a topic like that and you can go and turn it into so many different things, and we can go in so many different directions with that. But it's funny because if we apply it to sports and a lot of things that people hear about and follow, just, you know, when they're not working, they're watching sports. You know, I remember if you follow basketball, Tim Duncan, and what did they call him? They called him the big fundamental. And they always said, well, the San Antonio Spurs and Tim Duncan, they weren't the most exciting team to watch, but guess what? They won five NBA championships, and he was known for his fundamentals. He was known for the basics. He didn't have to go and do all the exotic things. And I think we see that in business a lot. And I know I've seen that, you know, coming up in business when I had one of my first, as I grew into a position and into a new company, I watched a lot of people really get very exotic with what they were doing, and they weren't having a lot of success with sales. And then, you know, I remember I came in one time and they wanted me to speak. And so I was like, well, what do you want me to speak about? And like, well, just talk about how you're doing business right now. And I'm like, okay. So I only really could talk about what I knew. So I get up there and talk. And afterwards, some of these people who are really into these exotic plans and all this crazy stuff that was going on, they just stopped and like, well, so it's like, and they said, the reason I thought of this is because what you said. So basically what you're talking about is blocking and tackling, right? And I'm like, it doesn't have to be. Yeah, there's exotic, there's advanced planning, there's all these different things that go on, but you really have to focus on the basics a lot of times, and all that stuff happens. And that's why it's so important to talk to someone like you about these different things, because, you know, there's another story real quick that I heard is Kobe Bryant was teaching his daughter, and he's very successful in business after retiring from his basketball career. He's trying to be more successful in business. But anyway, he's going back and he's training his daughter, who's 12 years old, and he's talking to Michael Jordan, and he's like trying to figure out like what do they got to do, because they're working on so many advanced things in her practice, and he's not the coach, so he's working with her at home. And what happens is he goes to Michael Jordan, and he's like, what were you doing at age 12 with basketball? He's like, bro, I was playing baseball. And so Kobe was then talking about what he was thinking at age 12. He's like, I was just working on the basics, the very basics. And that's all he's doing with his daughter. So you have some of the most elite performers at their craft of all time. And either they weren't even playing it yet talking about the sport aspect of it. But if they were, they were doing they were doing the basics. And it's exactly what you're talking about. But now going back a little bit to something else that you said, and I hadn't heard this before, and I know you talked about being in the South and being in Alabama, but one of the first things you said to me was housing projects. So you started off in the housing projects. You had to play sports. You had to do certain things. How does someone like you, Bruce, go from being in the housing projects to playing sports to having a successful business and just having this overall mindset that attracts people to you to want to talk to you and learn from you?
Well, it's kind of interesting you're bringing that up, because our gauge was performance. And so, you know, through the performance side of it is where, you know, kind of where we became a leader. And then also out of that, you know, Eric, I had a lot of anger and rage. And so basically by putting a football helmet on me, I think it probably kept me out of jail. I know my mother would pray and just go, you know, just don't let him go to jail. And so through that process of the fundamentals of just the football, basketball, and baseball, and once I got into the business world, one of the first things out of college, got out in Colorado or California in commercial real estate in Orange County and Newport Beach. And so, you know, we do a lot of cold calling, and which was fundamental. It's interesting you talk about these big elaborate plans, and I know we didn't even have what we did was in. I started the industrial division. I had never done real estate, so I'm sitting in there, and these guys elaborate. They're going, well, we're going to take Orange County, we're going to do this, and I'm going, all right. I was kind of looking at, all right, well, what if I just take a literally like 5 square miles? And what if I just focused in on that? What if I did that day in and day out? What if I got to know everybody in that community? And out of that, it was very fundamental. And even once I got out, I knocked on doors, I would follow up, I'd give cards, I'd call back, and I was always in the area, always in front of my customer base. Well, what was interesting, you know, we had some guys that struck out, and they closed some big deals, and there was, I don't know, I think we had 50 brokers or something. I'm in the 11th month of this thing, and I'm basically about starving. And what happened, those guys all kind of faded away. Well, what happened in that 11th month? I ended up closing about 60 deals before the year end. And so out of that, I had such carryover to the next year, I never cold called again. And so what was interesting, I knew the market. I just got out, rolled the sleeves up, and I developed discipline of making the calls, putting the letters into the, back then they used to have a secretarial thing. You throw in all the stuff, everybody type it, and I'd go out and see, come back. And then, so I developed, in a sense, a discipline and an order and a plan. But it was very fundamental, and it was just literally getting out and hitting the sled every day, and that was it. And so I'd heard all the jokes in California. You can imagine, the hick jokes and not how hard you work, and I was working a lot of hours. But what happened, people began to fade away, and then I just kept plotting and just kept getting stronger in it. And so I think, one of the things, Eric, through this transition, and was that the biggest thing was I realized I couldn't get hurt in business. You know, I go, well, I'll just call the guys again. And I said, well, worst thing, you know, in football, you're always going to, you know, you're either going to get whipped or whip somebody else. And then I'm going, well, it ain't going to hurt for them to say no. And then what was really interesting is, with my accent, and I would just go in and, you know, we'd get all the jokes, and I was working when our other guys in the office wasn't working. And so what happened was, is that that's really kind of how I grew my business, just off the fundamentals, and then just kind of stayed on top of it. And I learned what my customers wanted, and I provided it, and I made an easy way for them to do it. And then, so then the rest ended up being a number one broker the following year. So that was, I don't know, again, did that answer your question?
It does answer the question. I mean, there are no right or wrong answers here. That's what's so beautiful about it. But yeah, you said something about it's not going to hurt to hear someone say no. And a lot of that comes from because of what you went through when you were younger. And a lot of times we see that. So, you know, oftentimes you hear about the immigrant mindset. So when immigrants came over to this country, my grandfather's mother came over here, and they were raised very differently than I was. And I think oftentimes about them. So you have to, I didn't have that life growing up. I was very fortunate. but I think about what other people would have gone through before me or gave it the opportunity for us to be here. So however you have to get to that mindset, you have to get to that mindset, but you lived it. And you were like, well, someone says no to me, it can't be worse than how, you know, and I'm sure you had a loving family and all these different things, but it can't be worse than what you went through already. And, you know, it's just, you can't replace that. And you're willing to stay late. You're willing to put, like you said, the hard work, those things are very cliche-ish a lot of times, but oftentimes they're a cliche because they're so true. And you were willing to do all those things. You didn't care. Like if 10 people in a row said no to you, I've seen people, you know, just not be able to handle it in sales. And that's understandable. It's not easy to hear no. It's not easy to just not, you know, break through whatever you're trying to break through. You're trying hard. It's not for lack of trying and you just can't get through it. But at the same time, is who's the person that can keep pushing? Like you said at the beginning, who's the one that can keep pushing through? And it sounds like because of your upbringing and what you went through that, hey, this is no big deal. This is just business. And if I just focus on the basics, then I'm just going to keep pushing this thing through and I'm going to come out the other end and we're going to have some success here and I'm going to help some people. And it's exciting to...
Well, Eric, if I can add on that...
Please.
Because I'm going back to what you said about just the fundamentals, not fancy. Because one of the things that we would do, I'd get a listing as an example, and they had a process. You had to go and take 5 weeks to get a brochure. You know, back then it was, they called them four color brochures, and it took, it was a lot of stuff they had to do. Well, what was interesting, I'm going, God, I've got to sell this thing because I got to pay my rent. So I got the support staff to just to give me a border around a sheet of paper, and I'd get them to type in the deal points, and then I'd go hand them out. And so by the time everybody goes, well, Bruce, that's not four color. I said, well, literally the people I'm dealing with, I don't think they really care if it's four color or not. They're looking for they need to have a deal. They need to have a need met. And I can't wait 5 weeks for that thing to be developed. So what was interesting, Eric, it wasn't pretty, but I got out. I'd take those flyers. And, you know, the big joke after a year or two was the fact that I'd go in to see somebody, and most everybody I cold call, and especially the ones I did business with, became lifetime friends. And so out of that, they'd go, oh, Bruce, don't need another car. They'd reach in their desk and have 10 of them. Or they'd pull out, hey, here's the last 10 listings you had. I'm okay, you know. And so what it was is that I really tried to respect the people and their time. And I would meet them whenever they needed to meet. And in the brokerage deal out in California, most of the boys didn't get started until the 9 and 10 o'clock. Well, I'd already been in 5 hours and I'd already done all the work. And there's no shortcuts. And I think, Eric, that's one of the things is that we kind of think there's an instant, you know, here's what I want to be. And then all I got to do is that it'll be like overnight. Well, out of all of the companies and all of the people we've done business with, I've yet to stumble across a guy that goes, hey, guess what? I just did my first offering. And back then in California, it was the boom and the bust of the of all of the high tech stuff. But what happened was is that I never met anybody that made it overnight, and especially a businessman. Most of them have to leverage your house 2 to 3 times. Most of the time they had a customer that would give them a pre-order. And most of our customers and clients were mom and pop that grew to be bigger companies. And they were putting their whole life and all of their stuff. And I took it very serious. I took it very serious that they were working to support their family. And then out of that, is that whatever they were doing or what they didn't do, was I bringing a benefit and was I helping them? And that's really, Eric, kind of how we got started. I had a friend that I helped in their real estate. We had 180 employees. Then he asked me if I could help because we were in a recession in California. We kind of dropped back. And fundamentally, he asked me, we had like 20 salesmen or something. And he goes, hey, you're a pretty good salesman. We know now how ridiculous it was. Our sales drifted from $20 million down to $12 million, And he goes, well, we just got to sell more. And then once I kind of got looking into it, we were missing on a lot of cylinders, not really big issues in the organization, but little bitty ones. Like we weren't, after we delivered a product or service, it was literally sometimes 60 to 90 days before we ever invoiced for it. We were having things sitting in the warehouse for 5 weeks. We didn't even know where all these little bitty things. And then, and Eric, that's kind of how we got started doing what we're doing 30 years ago, was to help a friend out that was had five brothers. Their business had been in business for 20 or 30 years. And I learned a lot, Eric. One of them is that if we're increasing in sales 10 to 15% annual, usually the cash flow will make up for all of our inefficiencies. And so when the cash flow stops and that growth of 10 to 15% annual and it drifts back, all the rocks show, now what do you do? And Eric, in a sense, that's how we got started. Moving from the real estate guy to help a guy, end up helping his son actually in football, helped his company. And then that's kind of how we got into this thing 30 years ago. And I never had any of that on the radar. So
it just happened. Stop. Well, that's what you don't call an overnight success, right, Bruce?
Right.
It's like you said, the shortcut. And, you know, so you have that shortcut. People are like, well, how do I cut to this? And, you know, I want to get to success faster. Of course, we all do. But it is a lot of hard work. And it's a lot of work, like you said before, about being there at whatever time you have to be there and staying whenever you have to stay there. And if it's at the office or at your house or however it is that you can work, you can go on a walk and you could be thinking about business. But there's something else that you brought up. And I want to get into some of the things that you talked about as well. But you did bring up, you didn't say it this way, but you said it another way, and the way I kind of identify, and I've seen it with salespeople, I've seen it with business people, is being paralyzed by things that don't matter. And I think oftentimes a lot of people get to that, but you hone in on like the four color situation, and well, we got to wait on that, and we have to have a meeting about that, and we have to discuss that more, and we have to wait. And you're just like, hold on a second. No, we need to go talk to this customer because we can't wait. Yeah, you know, we're getting, you know, contradict a little bit with the overnight success, but not really, because they're two different things that we're talking about. You have to continue to push for, you talked about it at the very beginning, you have to continue to push forward. But I see things, people get caught up in, well, I need the marketing piece to go out to talk to this client, and if I don't have it this way or that way, then I can't talk to this customer. And of course you have to have the right things, but there's so many things that people get caught up in. We can make 101 list of the things that don't matter. Get out there and get to work. Yeah. And I think that's what you're doing. And then you go out really, and the whole purpose of what you said was you were helping someone out. So a lot of times we hear it, and I definitely hear it in insurance. So we have an insurance side of our business, we have a marketing side of our business, and in both industries, I see it a lot. People are selling and pushing product. There's this little product, there's this little niche, and they want to go sell, and they just, here's the benefits of this, and here's the benefits of that, and this is why you need this, and it's like, oh my goodness, no wonder the insurance industry and the marketing industry have bad raps, because there's people out there that are over-pushing product. At the end of the day, you look at someone like yourself, Bruce, you are helping somebody else. How can I help you in your business? And if there's a product behind the scenes, by all means. I remember one of the first things I learned is when I worked for this insurance brokerage company, huge company, had all the products out there. He walked in, he's like, if you kind of like look behind you, there's this wall of stuff, pretend like there's shelves of products behind you. And you look back and you're like, we have all the products. Let's not worry about product right now. Let's just talk about you and your business. And that's truly it. It's truly helping somebody out. And you do that to the next level, which is why we're even having this conversation to begin with, because you go out there, you help someone out. It leads to these different things. There's a lot of serendipity involved and things just happen. And now you're walking into businesses and you are helping businesses, whether they're small, medium, large size businesses. And what key issues when you walk in, and kind of like diving a little bit more into what you do at BSG, you see key issues typical inside of these organizations, 50 to 100, 150 person operations. Are there certain issues that you see in operations that are the biggest concerns that you're kind of seeing, not rampant, but you see it a lot. You've seen it a lot.
Well, I guess one of the things, you know, we didn't know anything until we got in it. And then the second organization 2 years later, you know, we went to another family owned business that had 900 employees in LA. And we had five unions, and it was a challenging thing. So after that, I would always get in there and I'd look at all these problems and I'd go, what do they all have in common? And what was interesting is that that's where those four barriers came up, Eric, and that was the fear of expression and interaction, lack of communication, verbal written, lack of written procedure, and lack of training. And so I got to saying, well, why is that problem happening? And so I would literally get up there and just write it up. Now, how long ago it was on a chalkboard. And I'd just write it up and just kind of, what do they have in common? What do they have in common? And so through that process, and what I realized as we matured through that, we were there for 4 years. But what we realized is that when we got into it, Dr. Deming was coming out. They were in the quality circles. They were, bonefish analysis and all these other things, which are all great. But what I learned from Jim Sr., Jim Sr. Andreoli at Baker Commodities was that he knew where his money was, and he focused on the things close to what we call the order request. Because what I found is most of the time people didn't know their cost of business, and they weren't focusing on the issues that was putting that product or service into that customer's hands. Does that make sense, Eric?
It does, and you said it right. Like, what are the things that they all have in common? And I think a lot of times there's that root issue that, oh wait, I've seen this before. Because if you go into these different organizations, it's going to fit something else. So when you identify these things, like, where do you go from there? What conversations are you having? Because, you know, as a business owner myself, you know, you might come in here and I might not, oh, wait a second, I don't think that's our issue. I think our customers are very happy. I think our employees are very happy. I mean, and you know, how do you have those conversations with someone to kind of take it to that next step?
Well, you know, and that was kind of, you know, I guess, you know, when our company, the first one that we helped, was struggling, I went to the seminars. And I go, okay, well, because I didn't know an answer. We couldn't afford Dr. Deming, and we were literally $3 million upside down. That was about $27,000 a month negative debt service. And I'm going like, well, we need something now. How do we do this thing? So I went to a couple of seminars, and I'm going, God, all that dude's talking about is his book and his materials, and he's never really given any answers. He's never really, and his handouts were poor. And I'm going, I kind of stepped back from that, and I'm going, well, how do you do this, and how do you get started? And I think, Eric, as I was looking, I realized I needed a process and I needed a direction. And what I saw out there didn't exist. It did not exist. And no one could tell me. Everybody goes, well, they would, if this makes sense, Eric, we would push up all the problems. Well, what I found out, most everybody already knew what their problems were. They didn't have a process to resolve it, and they didn't have a system. And so what, as I went through these, you know, we've done about 50 big ones. And out of that, what we learned was that if we stay focused, work on those four barriers, hold them accountable, look at our operating systems in a sense, look at the jobs, look at the people, because every answer we know, everybody in there knows how to do it, but it's those four barriers that are keeping us from doing that. And so when I would go in, I can remember the arrogance of these guys, and some of these guys sitting across from us had never even been in business. They're selling stuff, and they've never done anything. They didn't even understand business. And so I became very protective of the person that I was sitting in front of, because I understood what it took for them to get in that chair of owning that business or leading a business. And so out of that, I wouldn't go in and say, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's this, here's that. Are you doing this? Here's a 75 characteristics of leadership. And I always go, yeah, all that stuff sounds great, but how do you do it? And so we became very fundamental, very, this is how you do it. And so through that process of here's how we do it, I go, hey, here's kind of what we saw in the other companies. It was the fear. And here's kind of what it looked like, the communication, lack of procedure, lack of training, and the base values, and this, you know, this negative 1% that it's affecting 5%, the 20% with negative characteristics. And I go, hey, does that make sense? And good night, Eric. Everyone could identify with it. And they had their own stories. So it wasn't like I was having to go in and say, you're doing this and that wrong. Because, you know, our first company was one that was struggling, and most of the other ones were just trying to get they were just trying to wrestle this this animal to the ground and get a handle on it. They worked so long to get it up and running, they didn't have the infrastructure to grow the organization. And even if they went to college, they still didn't understand how to do it. So, so Eric, out of all of that stuff said, is that it was kind of like there was a story in the book that I think we call Get Ready to Get Ready. And that's what I saw, is that there was a lot of stuff to get ready to get ready. To do all these things, like you said, these exotic things, or to do that, instead of just driving in, we know where the issues are, we know where the problems, and they go, well, hey, we don't really have that problem. I said, then you won't struggle with that one, so let's move on. And so we became very systematic, and then as our business grew, is that we had to also formalize how we were doing business. And that's what we're saying, is that all we're moving is what you're already doing. And I've yet to meet somebody that didn't get into business. They got into business because they usually loved their country, they loved the community, they loved their employees, and they cherished their families. But most of them, we didn't have somebody around us to tell us how to do it. And so that was kind of, you know, as we moved through it, I knew what it took for that person sitting in the chair. No matter what his organization looked like, it took a lot just to get to that place. And that and we do have a plan, and it's purposed, and it's linear, and it keeps moving forward.
And I'm glad you brought it up, because it's like you said, the business understands their issues. And then it's cleaning it up, making it, you know, going back to something that we've talked about and maybe not said the word, but simplicity, basics, fundamentals, right? You said those words, of course, but simplicity. And what is the process that we can implement to make this simpler for everybody? And so the leaders feel comfortable, everyone working in the organization feels comfortable. Now we have something to talk about. We can hold people accountable. You know, you put that process in place. And when I read your book, I could see that playing out immediately. And I understood, for example, like I mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, when I talked to Shane talks about processes. What is the process for this? How are we going to handle this? How can we implement? How can we repeat this step later? How can we take away, how can we take away confusion down the road? Because we have this process in place. Which now goes to that point, because you're doing all of these different things. You have this incredible wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure this is a reason why you did this. But Bruce, why write a book?
Well, what was interesting in writing the book, because I'd always struggle with reading, and a lot of the books that I tried to read, I realized it was by guys that never been in business or owned one. And I go, well, that kind of doesn't make sense. The guy that's writing this book never been in business. And I would see kind of the cliche stuff. Oh, you got to have leadership. You got to have buy-in. You've got to make your employees happy. And I'm not disagreeing with all of that, but I always back into it and go, but how do you do that? And it's not a simple answer that resolves all these issues, but it's just a very fundamental process of literally, I guess, Eric, hitting that sled every day with a playbook and with a game plan, and treating everybody what we call the base values and the two rules: do what's morally and ethically correct, and treat everybody as you want to be treated. And I realized it was the easier I made it for them, basically, to understand what we were doing. fundamentally sound to where they could go, yeah, that makes sense, because what we're saying and doing, Eric, I've never gone in anywhere. And they go, well, what do you do? I said, well, it's this, and here's the four barriers. Immediately, everybody can identify with those four barriers. And what's interesting, we started teaching a semester class in the four barriers to quality. And even the kids, and some of them hadn't even been in really into the workplace, but they could identify it, and they could identify it in their own personal life. And what I realized, Eric, is that a lot of the deals that we're dealing with in an organization really has nothing to do with the deal sitting on the table. It has to do with the things under the table. And that is, where am I at personally? Where am I at professionally? And do we have process? And so what I've realized is that we had people bringing in their own cultural issues, their own backgrounds, and their own, burdens in back. And so I thought that was fascinating. And then we have a good friend that we did business with 22 years ago. Now he's with a big company, and you know, he goes, hey, Bruce, the system thing's easy, just developing a procedure. But it's all the people stuff around it. And so, Eric, that's kind of where I'm going like, okay, how do we communicate this? How do we move it forward? And how do we do this without killing the organization? And how do we do it for a cost that people can afford? Because most of our companies, Eric, I'd say probably 95% of them, don't have HR, don't have a training department. And so we really tried to simplify it and keep it very just, hey, here's the button, here's what we're doing. We're doing it, and we're going to do it. It'll take 4 to 6 hours a month. And everybody goes, oh, God, that's a no-brainer. We can do that. But, Eric, guess what? What was the hardest thing for us to do? It was to schedule 4 to 6 hours because we were so disorganized internally. But we knew by just focusing on the schedule of committing to a year in advance, that started setting other disciplines in place. And so it was really fascinating. You know, I wrote the book, and the book is the process. And I wanted somebody to be able to take this, say, you know what, I can do this. And so the book, to me, I wrote it to be like used as a textbook, as a reference book. I had run into a couple of MBAs in Denver. They asked me to come out and see them. They were young, successful businessmen. And they said, well, Bruce, we want to have lunch. When are you ever in Denver? I said, I'm actually going to be there next month. So ended up going back, and they had the book. They both brought their books, and so they're going, hey, Bruce, here's your book. And it was, Eric, you know how thick the book is. It was about five times that thick, and they had it all with yellow marker and even with pink stuff in there. And I'm going, what's that mean? And they said, hey, Bruce, there's a problem. We see a problem with your book. And I'm going, oh, Lord, what did I do? Did I misspell something? I know there's some bad grammar in there. And so what happened, the guy goes, yeah, he goes, you see these little headings over this part of this text? I go, yeah. He goes, you should have put a line there, because we know a person for every one of those, and we write their names in it. And because, Eric, that's how true it is, because I never got into this thing about writing a book. I never got into this thing to create this big business or to create all this stuff. I just got in it to help a friend. And by grace, I was able to document all of the stuff. So the book, I wanted people to be able to take that book and use it and implement it. I also wanted to be able to communicate it with younger people that are coming in, even 30 years ago, the vision that they could learn how these fundamental principles and practices, that they could start their business right. Because most of our people start the business, they've never had one before, And that's where I saw we were all stumbling over the same thing. But in class, what we realized, it became very personal to the students because they could identify with those four barriers and the lack of discipline, where it was at home or the boundaries from if procedure or the fear, because some of us have grown up with alcohol and drug abuse in the families and a lot of different things. So there was fear. There was no communication. It was shut down or it was negative. And we didn't really have guidelines or they were so harsh and couldn't bend them. And then we never were really trained on a lot of stuff. And so it became clear years ago when we started doing that seminar of really what we have is that we work personally to develop the person. And then we do that by focusing on the organizational process. And then we grow professionally. And so we call it personal, professional, and process development. Well, we didn't have any of that stuff. We just learned through doing the thing and just document it. So that's kind of the reason for the book. I just felt like I had to get it out there and give some other folks some direction in case I died tomorrow or something, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's you doing the right thing. And what I also find fascinating too, just, you know, besides of what you do, it's how you built your business. And we love talking about how companies got started, you know, the infancy before it ever started and why you have a business and why you're an entrepreneur and all these different things. And you saw a category, you saw an opportunity, an opening, you know, the blue waters, the red waters, right? Or how do you go somewhere and make a difference? Like, well, all the business books have been written, right? And yeah, for many cases that is true. However, you saw an opening to say, well, all these people out there that have written the book that might be the book that I'm going to write, they've never done what I've done. And I have this opportunity to go and share it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it away. Because a lot of times they're not given away. It's the book that leads to the next thing, that leads to the next thing. It's like, I'm trying to sell you something. And of course, we have to stay in business. You have to make money. But you're like, if you can read this book and you can go implement it yourself, by all means. And if you could listen to this podcast and take a couple things from what you're saying and apply it to your business, you know, I think that's what business is all about, is doing the right things, because there is an abundance out there of people to talk to and communicate with. You can't get to everybody. You can talk to a lot of people, but if they can take what you're saying in this podcast, on the book, or from anything else that you've put out there, my goodness, like, what a great way to live your life and to treat your business and to treat other businesses out there. Because if, like we say it all the time on this podcast, if you do the right things, you can't be wrong. And that's what you're doing. And that's why we continue to have conversations with you. It's why it's exciting to have conversations with you. It's why we are co-sponsoring an event with you on May 17th coming up at Providence Country Club. And that's a question I want to ask you is, you talked about seminaring and you've done seminars and you've done conferences and you've done all these things, and you know, you've shown up to other people's seminars, which I love that you said that how did you learn about these things? And you said this earlier, because you showed up to where the people were that you were going to be working with and learning from and then helping them out with their process, but you had to get to know them. So you love the face-to-face and being with someone and seeing how they operate and what they think about and what's important to them and what's not important to them. But anyway, you're having your own seminar coming up May 17th. And if I'm a business owner, if there's some business owner out there that's listening, you know, and it's not all day, right? And we get it. Business owners are busier maybe than ever because of just all the different directions someone could get pulled. Why should someone show up to your seminar, and what could they expect to take out of it?
Well, I tell you, just simply put, I think they'll be encouraged. Number one is that the issues that they're dealing with are really not complex issues. And the fact that they can learn. And then as an example, Eric, is that we do like an audit up front is what we call it. We say list 15 of your top concerns, circle or 15 concerns, and then circle the top five. And then even at the end of the seminar, go, okay, what we've talked to today, let's go back to this. Tell me, what was your top one? And we'd go back and ask. And go, okay, what was your top one with what you learned today? I said, do you know how to address that issue? And Eric, without a doubt, every one of them have learned how to address the issue. And that's what I think the simplicity of the four barriers, we can all understand that in our own personal life. And what we find, most of the guys that start businesses are guys that were at another business that they weren't providing them with the things they needed in order to meet their customers' demands. And so they go, I'm doing it all anyway. I might as well do it. So a person that comes to the seminar, I think that they will find a lot of stuff. We call it very black and white, very fundamental. I think they will realize that they're not alone. Every issue that they have, everybody in that room has it, whether they're an owner of an organization, employee of an organization, or they're leading an organization. These are all of the same issues. And what happens, you're able to step back from all of the noise and the distraction and go, okay, here's those four barriers. Okay, here's what it looks like. And so we think it's a problem with that guy in that department, but actually it's because we don't have a process. Then we realize that, hey, well, we got a process, but we got somebody over there holding the organization and the department hostage. And so what it does is that, because Eric, I know at one time in your life, and most everybody, we've all had to have a pain sandwich, and we all had to work through something or be in something that was over our head and being overwhelmed. Well, this thing helps it to step back. What it'll do, it will support everything that they believe in their heart. It will support that, hey, I want to have a good organization that honors the community and our country and our employees. We want to provide a good product and service. And, you know, and in a sense, that's what one of the first things that we have in the book is that we call it the organizational grid. And here's all the things that we have in common. But the big thing is, I think they will see, hey, here's the solution. This thing ain't that big. And if we work on the fundamentals, and guess what? The guys sitting next to me have the same issues. The guys down the road has the same issue. My customer, my suppliers, internal, external, they have the same issues. And it's really fascinating. I think that they will see a pathway. They will see the logic, and they'll see the understanding, and they will look at issues that they address in the organization with a different light. And not being overwhelmed of where do you start or how do you do it. So that's what I think. But I think they'll just find comfort in what we're doing because it'll speak directly to their heart. And that's what a lot of the seminar, that's what a lot of the program, but we just happen to have a very good process to move through it. So
I've seen it. I agree with you because I've seen it when you've walked into our office and I've seen you interact with other people. So one of the other reasons why I think someone would show up to a seminar that has you involved with it is the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you. I think there's a lot of people we come across in our lives that, you know, can impact you. And I think that you're someone that could help people out. And I think the aura that you bring, just being in the room with you, just, you know, when you smile, when you shake their hands and you show a genuine interest, like you talked about before, showing up to the seminar before you ever started working with the company, start learning about them. That's who you are. So not to oversell it or overplay it, but I think a business owner would do well, or anybody in business would do well spending a little time with you. And I think that alone is a big reason why. And then if you can do that, you could read the book. And if it leads to something more than that, then that's great. And that'll happen naturally if that's what's needed next.
When you mentioned that, we were doing a deal, a seminar in Fort Collins, Colorado, over on the west or the Front Range. And there was a lady came up after. We have so many people come up after with all their issues and how it spoke to them. But this one says, you know what? That makes sense. We're just starting with a company. It's a mom and pop. We got 15 employees, and this makes so much sense. Well, what was interesting, 2 months later, that lady called me. She goes, hey, Bruce, I took what you said, and I read the book, and I physically made what you call work centers or base work centers and literally put it by department or tables. And we've developed a process of how we're doing business. So I went up there and looked, and she walked me through the whole company. The company was growing, and it was just, you know, they're trying to fulfill the demand. They worked so hard to get the animal up and running. And she literally, after one seminar, went with the book. She went back to her company, and within 2 months, she asked me to come back, and she could tell us what each one of those were doing. So that was our goal. I said, I don't want to be doing a seminar and some dude sitting here trying to sell me stuff when they're not even giving out the information. And also, too, there's probably more information in the handouts than what most books and what most training programs have, because we want to impact the people. And I do believe if we're doing what's right, all the other stuff will work out.
Well, that's what we've talked about a lot on this, and you know, I know you've worked with a lot of organizations, and I think it's important maybe to touch on that. I'm not sure if you can say that, but some of the stories you've told have been about some incredible organizations that you've worked with many years ago, and then today. Is there any organization that's come into your head right now of, you know, a quick story that you could tell us from working with them and how it helped you out and maybe what you did for them?
Well, I think a lot of it, every time we, especially in the first 25 years, everyone that helped, we all realized we were in this thing together, Eric, is that I was learning, I was improving, I was redefining based off of our needs of our customers. But one of them particularly that happens to be in Columbia, South Carolina, a young man, Eric, I used to be the young man in the room. Now I'm the older guy.
Yeah.
But young Robert Pulliam, that they have First Response, which is a, you know, we're up against like all the big restoration companies that are out there that basically if there's a fire or storm, they go in and clean the water. Well, and put the business or put the home back in to shape. So our business. So what happened? Robert was buying a company, and he asked me, he says, hey, well, whatever that you got, you need to get that thing online because I need it. We were able to strike a deal. The organization was losing about $20,000 a month, and it was, I'm not sure how many, the amount of money that we had to put down on it or take a note on it. And so what happened was it was in pretty distressed areas. And in fact, Robert is also on the website stuff where he's got some interview stuff. But what Robert did, and I think Robert was like 28 or 30 or something when all this started. But what happened, we were able to start putting the systems in place. And it was hard. The first 2 years was hard. We had got at least 100% or 200% turnover trying to get the people in there. And every business I ever had or been in, they go, well, this industry's different. This industry's, you know, they're all the same. All the same issues. Well, now fast forward it, I think 6 or 8 years later, is that I'm not sure. We're probably doing a million and a half or 2.5 million in sales. I think we got 14 employees, and Robert has taken he and his family and went to California, and he's going to a school out there, and his business is, he's been gone 2 years and his business is still running. And in fact, I'm going out in next month to go. He's graduating. And so now he's got 4 kids. He had none when we met him. And so these are the type things of, he was able to work hard, never owned a business, but he had a desire in his heart to own a business. And we had been friends 5 years before that. That's another issue. And then so now we're looking 6 or 8 years later, and now we can look back. He's paid off the debt. He's doing the stuff. His business is growing. He's got a good employee base, and his business is running without him being there. I don't, in a short thing, I don't really know how much better you can do than that.
No, I think that's it. And no, I think that's a good story to share and to, you know, kind of move on to the next thing. I know you're a busy guy and have a lot to work on. And like I said, I appreciate you spending the time. The stories that you share are you know, I could sit here and listen to this all day, and I would like to do it again and maybe dive in deeper, maybe perhaps after the next seminar that you do and we get on here and we, you know, maybe dive deeper into specific topics, because I think we covered a wide ranging thing, you know, starting off with, you know, you growing up in the housing projects to playing football and learning about blocking and tackling, and then kind of creating a business by helping someone out and kind of leading you on this path to doing all the great things that you're doing. And now you have a book and you have the seminars coming up and you're working with some great organizations, and we're excited to be, you know, spending time with you. And I think that's it. Like we said at the beginning, it's important to surround yourself with good people, and you and your team are very good people. And we're excited to be having, just like I said just a little while ago, having conversations with you. And that's what it's all about, is having conversations. That's why I love podcasting so much, because it's a conversation. Yeah, I get to ask you questions, but we get to just chat, and it just happens to be, you know, recording, and we get to share that with someone else, which goes to what you're talking about. If you can put something good out there, hey, that's good. And that's what you're all about. And if it leads to some business, then that's fantastic. But, you know, let's put the good stuff out there. So, Bruce, I really appreciate it. What's the best way people can get a hold of you if they can't make the seminar? They just want to, hey, I got to talk to Bruce, because, you know, just the things that he talks about, just, you know, they're hitting me square across the face and I need to talk to him. What's the best way someone can get a hold of you?
I think the simplest way is that the only email I got that I can spell or remember is bruce@brucesnell.com. I can spell both sides of that and remember that. And that's probably the easiest way. And then we have websites and all that other stuff. But that's probably the easiest way.
Okay, that's perfect. That, yeah, and I'm glad you can spell that, and that's going to work out for you. And we're going to put a link in the show notes for the seminar with your email address and all that good stuff. So if someone needs to get a hold of you, they can always reach us too, and we'll make that connection. But Bruce, thank you again for spending the time with us, sharing your stories, and we will obviously talk to you very soon.
All right, thanks a lot, and have a good day.
Bruce, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your stories of growing up in the South to your thoughts on business operations, we are all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Bruce on breaking through barriers in life and business are now perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Bruce, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Bruce about business, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter @Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our Kaz Source podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.